Hello, my name is Alex Stevens and I am the vicar in the parish of Norcliffe Burghheath. And we have just had a Giving Sunday in our parish, and so this today is a sermon about giving. It's based on three texts and I'm going to read them before I talk through the sermon. So the first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verses 1 to 5. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service of the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplied the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you've proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Well, this morning, we took a break from our Sermon on the Mount series for 1 week. And as I said, today has been Giving Sunday. I mentioned in the news email for the last couple of weeks that we're having what we're calling a giving drive in our parish. In years gone by, you might have heard this referred to as a stewardship campaign or other similar titles. And in the coming week, everyone who is on our electoral roll or a member of our church family will be receiving packs asking each of us to prayerfully review our giving to the parish at the current time. I say this because Michael and I will be doing this alongside everyone else. It's each of us. As a parish, we've been due to have the giving drive last March, and then coronavirus struck and it hasn't been the right time to do this up till now. But we've waited as long as we could, not wanting to worry people during COVID times. But we do need to hold this review of our giving now. We are a relatively new parish, and we need to work out our financial picture so that we can budget set and we can plan for the future. And also, as Piers, our treasurer, explains in a separate video that will go out with this one, we suffered some losses during 2020, which we need to address. I'm going to pray now. Let's pray together. Loving Lord, we thank you so much for your extraordinary generosity and giving so much to us. We thank you with joy for the opportunity to review our giving back to your work in our parish this morning and in the coming weeks. We pray that you'll guide us in your thinking and our heart responses to this. So do watch Piers' video as well as watching this one, because his video explains all the financial side. This is explaining what scripture says, or at least parts of scripture say, about giving. So the first thing I want to say about giving is to recognise that there are many different ways of giving or making our offerings to God, each of which are important. Many in our church family give very generously of our time to serve our church family and our parish. Many in our church family also give generously of our talents. We have musicians and sound and technical experts, people who pray, people who do readings, people who lead our services and preach for us, people who lead our small groups, people who look after our buildings, so much more besides. Outside of COVID times, we also have those who lead the various ministry activities where we seek to reach out and serve the parish. Many in our church family also give very generously, financially, to support the work of God in our parish. So church family members are already offering a lot to God of our time, of our talents and our finances, or our treasure. And the first thing I want to say as we talk about this topic is thank you. Thank you very much, each one of you, for all you do to contribute to our church family life and to reach out with the good news of the gospel. Thank you, firstly, for who you are, that's most important, but thank you for the many ways that you give as well, those offerings of time and talents and treasure, which is so greatly appreciated. Now, today we're talking particularly about financial giving, the giving of our treasure, because this in itself is a spiritual discipline. Now, if we think about it, any kind of offering to God is actually a very strange thing. He created the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxies. The Psalms tell us, Psalm 50 tells us, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I think that's underestimating. We know he owns far more than that. The point is, God's resources are infinite. They are never ending. So why do we give? Well, throughout the Bible, a key part of worship by human beings is making offerings to God. In the beginning, Cain and Abel made offerings to God. And then Noah and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the kings and the prophets of Israel all made offerings to God. When you look at the New Testament, when Jesus was a baby, Mary, Joseph and the baby Jesus went to the temple and made an offering to God. And the Apostle Paul told the churches to make an offering every week. And this is something which, though many people give by standing order or through the parish giving scheme already, or by bank transfer, or sometimes by bringing money to church, this is the thing that we're reviewing today. And this is what we're trying to think about. What commitment can we make in the coming year, the coming year? So we're thinking ahead a little bit for our giving. So the Bible tells us to give. The Christian church throughout the years has told us to give, and even our own churches, our own parish today, are saying it is good to make offerings or to give to God. And this is because it's a privilege to give back to God some of what he's so generously given us. And through giving back to God what he's so generously given us, we are able to participate in his work in the world. We give back to him and his work out of gratitude to him. Let's think a little more detail about this in relation to the readings. Now, please do refer to them again as I carry on, because I'm going to go into quite a lot of detail. And I have taken as a text for some of this a writing from John Stott about the 10 principles of Christian giving. So firstly, we have the two readings from 2 Corinthians, which was written by the Apostle Paul. Indeed, he also talked about giving financially in Romans chapter 15 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So giving of our finances was clearly something that is very important. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 5, Paul shows us that Christian giving is an expression of our grace, of the grace of God. In verse 1 of the passage, he doesn't just talk about the generosity of the churches in Macedonia, but instead he talks about the grace which God has given them. i.e. behind their generosity, he says, is the generosity of God himself. Verse 2 tells us that the Macedonians were facing severe trials and extreme poverty, and yet they were overflowing with joy. And in consequence, it says in verse 3 that they even gave beyond their ability. In fact, in verse 4, they were pleading for the privilege of sharing in the service of God's people in Judea. They were pleading for the opportunity to give to them. And then in verse 5, it tells us, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. So Christian generosity, in whatever form, is fundamentally an outflow of the generosity of God. The Macedonians gave because they knew the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus had done for them, they also wanted to care for and give financially to others. Now let's look at the passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. Well, this talks about reaping what we sow, and this is a famous saying, both biblically and also in the secular world. Whoever sows sparingly reaps sparingly, and whoever sows generously reaps generously. Sowing is another picture of giving. And the passage talks about how whatever we give, we should do so cheerfully and without grudges, because the states of our heart are so important. God wishes us to give generously in response to what he's given us. He doesn't want us to feel reluctant. He doesn't want us to feel compelled. It's not quite right if our hearts are not quite right. And that's the reason we're asking everybody to go away and to think and pray as individuals what you may be happy to give to the parish to support God's work here in Norkwith Burr Heath. Because it's a heart decision that each of us need to make, either as individuals or as couples or as family units, but it's between us and God. And we need to pray and spend time to work that out with him. The results of the generous giving in the passage say that it demonstrates the confession of the gospel of Christ, i.e. we show our actions in the beliefs of our hearts. We show in our actions the beliefs of our hearts. So how did this happen in the Greek churches? Well, John Stott explains that Paul looks beyond the financial gift from the Greek churches to the Judean churches, to what is symbolised by it. The significance, he says, of this collection was not just geographical from Greece to Judea. It was not just economical from the rich to the poor, but in particular, it was theological. It was from the Gentile Christians to the Jewish Christians. The financial offering was a deliberate and self-conscious symbol to show that the Jewish-Gentile solidarity in the body of Christ. And in many similar ways, our Christian giving also expresses our theology, because our gift symbolises our support to the cause to which we're giving. And again, John Stott writes, he says this, for example, when we contribute to evangelistic enterprises, we are expressing our confidence that the gospel is God's power for salvation and that everybody has a right to hear it. When we contribute to economic development, we express our belief that every man, woman and child bears God's image and should not be obliged to live in dehumanising circumstances. When we give to the maturing of the church, we acknowledge its centrality in God's purpose and his desire for its maturity. And again, that's from John Stott's 10 Principles of Giving. When we give financially to the parish of Norkwith Burr Heath, we express our investment in our church family and the well-being of all within it, and our commitment to the work which we're doing for God in our locality, in bringing more and more people into his family alongside us, in caring for those in need, in investing in our schools and nursing homes, in supporting the local food bank and other local causes, in working with other local churches in the Deanery and the Banstead Five and others to preach the gospel, in helping to make our buildings fit for purpose and a really good position to bless the local community, with each site becoming community hubs, including at the moment we're converting the vestry in St Mary's into a lovely meeting room and putting in a new shed with a built-in path to the church so that we can store items and people can transport them easily without getting muddy. And it sounds like a silly thing, but it's going to make such a big difference to us. We're putting in a screen at St Paul's to enable us as a parish and also all the school children and the others who use our building to worship God more fully. And we're carrying out works to the church hall so that the nursery children who are there every day and all the other clubs who meet there know that they're well cared for by us, their landlords. And we are also sharing our financial resources with our 6 mission partners. John and Dorothy Baxter School in the Gambia, Bridges Nepal, which is run by Sally and Yankia Singh, Open Doors Charity, which supports persecuted Christians, Christians Against Poverty, which supports those struggling with finances across the UK, London City Mission and Sutton Street Pastors. We are asking you to review your financial giving to the parish, but we also reviewed the parish's financial giving to others last year, and 10% of our giving or more is given away each year now to our mission partners to support them in their work and support the growth of the wider kingdom of God. Generous giving symbolises our confidence in the power of Jesus and his gospel. And most importantly, going back to John Stott, it promotes a thanksgiving to God. Look at that 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in verses 11 to 15. Thanksgiving to God is mentioned 4 times. Verse 11, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Verse 13, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The wonderful thing about truly Christian giving is that it doesn't cause people to thank us. It's nice if they do, but most importantly, it causes them to thank God. It makes people see our gift in the light of his, and that is in the light of the extraordinary gift of his son Jesus Christ our Saviour. Now wouldn't it be wonderful if through the generous giving to the parish and through the generosity we can then bestow on our local area, people came to thank God for his grace and to follow him because of encountering what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people looked on our mission and ministry here in the parish of Norwood Burheath and they thanked God because of it? Our final passage chosen for today is Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4, the story of the widow's mite. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. The most important word in that passage is the word all. What mattered to Jesus was not the outward appearance of the giving, but the inner state of people's hearts. The widow's gift was more precious than any of the others because she gave all that she had. I don't know about you, but I so want to be like that widow, not just in financial giving, but in the whole of life. I want and try to live all out for Jesus. I fall short of it far too often, every day, in fact. But that's my heart's desire, to give my all for him. And I know it is for so many of us also. When the widow gave those 2 coins, there was nothing more left. Nothing more for her to spend, and nothing for dinner that night, nothing for breakfast in the morning. She gave absolutely everything she had. Why? Because she loved God and she knew his love for her. She knew that however generous we are, we can never outdo God's huge generosity to us. She knew that all she had was God's anyway, and so she gave it all back in a beautiful and humble and extravagant gift of love. And what we don't realise when we read that story in isolation is that it happened a week before Jesus went to the cross, when he too gave his all for us, not just everything he had, but his life itself. He did it so that we could get back the special relationship with God that we'd lost. He did it so that we could have eternal life. He too performed a beautiful, humble, extravagant gift of love. And in doing so, in giving his all, he transformed everything for us. Things in the temple that day were not all that they seemed. There were lots of rich people looking like they were giving huge amounts, but actually it wasn't a gift of generosity. It didn't really cost them anything and they didn't really care what they were doing. The widow's offering was totally different. Just as Jesus did, she gave extravagantly out of love. And the call to us with our money and the whole of our lives is to do the same. To give extravagantly out of love in return for the love that has been offered to us. In the next week, as I said, we'll be asking everybody to think about our giving. Is it possible for some of us to increase this a little? Now, we totally understand this may not be suitable for some of us at the moment, and I've put that in my letter as well. Some of us are facing job uncertainty. There's a lot of pressures in the world at the moment. We're just asking everybody to consider what is appropriate in our own circumstances. If you look at your finances and you think, actually, at the moment, things are so difficult, I need to reduce my giving, then that is absolutely fine. But if you're in a position where you may be able to give some more, then that would be wonderful as well. We are also thinking at the moment, and again, this will be explained in the pack, about how we can give in a way that is most financially efficient. Or most efficient. I don't know if it's most financially efficient, but most efficient, so most helpful. We have something called the Parish Giving Scheme, which is a way of giving which makes everything very straightforward for us. So please do take a look at the pack. Simon Morrison has given a wonderful explanation of the Parish Giving Scheme. Piers, our treasurer, has given a wonderful explanation of our finances, and I have written a sort of summary of what I've been saying today. Please do be in contact if you want to talk in any way. The only person who will know your financial contribution will be Simon Morrison, our parish giving officer. Piers and I will be given overall figures because we need to know what the figures are so we can plan for the future. But if you want to talk about something with me, then you're very welcome to do that too. So the question I have for each of us as we think this week, Michael and I included, is are we giving out of a place where we know that all we have is from God anyhow? All we have in life is because of God's generosity to us. And therefore, as with the widow and with her mighty offerings, are we willing to give generously in return? Amen.